Now, let's get more specific then with regarding the Mexican Mennonites. How did you first hear of Mexican Mennonites even being around here?
In the very first place, we rented a house to them. And retract that. We rented a house to a family, and we were very pleased. They then left, and another Mexican Mennonite family moved in, and we were upset so bad we were thinking we have to ask them to leave. So we thought, well, why do that? Why not talk to them and see what we can do? Because we are not abstainers, but we do not condone drunkenness, nor flossing and laying beer bottles out in the yard, and that's what was happening. Mm-hmm. And the house was right next door to us. The windows were being opened with a beer bottle in them, and we couldn't quite condone and digest even looking at this. So I did a little bit of work on my own. That would be 6 years ago, at least. Maybe a little longer.
72.
Oh, it's even longer than that. It could be 10 years ago. Then the house was sold, and that problem was gone. But you saw them uptown, and I used to take quite a bit of pleasure in, if they were grocery shopping and had a problem, and just walk up and help them out, and they would be just startled, and I got a charge out of that, and help them out. So that was great. And did have compassion for some of their needs, which I think everybody that sees them has and don't know just quite what to do about it. Mm-hmm. Then I was the coordinator of classes, extended adult education for St. Clair College, and funds were up and down there for a while. I was asked to think of courses and classes and things needed in the community, so I was doing quite a bit of that.
How did you become involved in that?
Well, that's where I started an English language class, and they had just been cut. And I didn't know that, and somehow our communication wasn't as clear as it should have been, and I had a class going with a teacher in the room hired at Wheatley, and my supervisor got in trouble because the classes then were to be cut. And I hear, how did he have a teacher and a classroom and students? Well, somehow it was a mix-up and we had a class. Then it was a successful class. There were 13 students, and a teacher came in from Windsor that was through St. Clair College, and they had to pay a lot of money for that. They had to pay $35 for that course.
The students had to?
Yes. It was like there was no involvement with the culture itself. It was strictly education, English as a second language. This went on. It's a half-year course, like from about October to Christmas, and then in January, middle of January, you start another one.
When was this? When you
this would this be one? About 4 years ago.
Okay. Had you been hired?
By St. Clair. I was doing other work with St. Clair and came up. Now, my job was to do some thinking. And
kind of a resource.
Yes, and look around what's needed and set up the program if possible. And I guess at that time, with the funding being restricted on that, they hadn't watched me close enough and I had a program going that they were to cut.
Okay. Now, Ben, I'm just a little curious, a little more background here. When you said that you had not gone to school much, did you have some other training that helped you get into this?
I have taken interpersonal communications and people relationship courses. I do a lot of reading in that. I like the psychology, philosophy, theories. Like, I think everybody in Canada should drive a Lincoln, a Buick, and a Cadillac. I really do, and I think it's all there. But get out there, do something, think, and get one. In Japan, they have little people in little cars. We have big people, a lot of land, and should be driving a big, comfortable car. And if you measure the person per inch per car in Japan, he fits comfortably. What are we trying to do with a Canadian here? My husband's 6'4", and he's supposed to have the steering wheel under his chin. It's wrong, and it's there. We just have to get busy and get it. So, anyway, then I had registrations for January, and had to go and tell all these people, sorry, no classes. So I thought, well, what I'm teaching them, and what they have to learn is, what do I need tomorrow when I go shopping, when I want to go see the doctor, how do I say this or that? I can do it myself. So I kept the schoolroom, signed for the schoolroom again, talked to a teacher in Wheatley, Mary Lynn, would she help me with this? I would take half the class. She had never taught ESL. She didn't know what to do. So I explained to her. ESL is English as a second language.
Hmm. Is there a certain curriculum you follow on that? Or
we have books, but we certainly get away from the book because I'll tell you, I like to teach with the newspaper.
yeah.
And I've been teaching with the newspaper ever since I started, and now the Winter Star has picked that up, and they're also using, they are promoting teaching with the newspaper, and I have some buttons. I'll show you one.
Sure.
I'll give you one. Okay. Teachers do it better with the newspaper.
Oh.
And it's just wonderful because what's in the newspaper today is something that's going to do some good tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are.
Thank you.
Teachers do it better with the newspaper. Okay. And if you want to function when you move into a new city, what do? You buy the newspaper. So I taught with the newspaper, and Mary Lynn helped with the proper spelling, grammar, and such, because I did no way want to teach them wrong, and I'm only a grade 5 student, grade 5 public school. That's all I have formally, and
yeah,
the right to claim.
Picked up a lot of sense, it sounds like.
Well, logical knowledge.
Yes.
I think myself, I feel that applying what you know is one of the biggest things, because if you might know it all, and you sit there and share it with no one, yeah, I've got lots of those, I have 4 grandchildren, what good is it?
Yes.
So I learn as I live, and I'm very aware of God's logic, and that, you know, there aren't too many mistakes except the ones we make.
Yeah.
So anyway, then I had these students who, with no teachers, no funding, did the work that winter. So, but we had the registration money, so that I handed over to Mary Lynn. Wasn't all that much, because the class was small. Plus, as you know, they are afraid to go to school and ashamed to go as an adult and don't quite understand the education system.
These were all
Mexican Mennonites, and mostly Old Colony Church.
Hmm.
Now, you're probably aware that there's a lot being done with the EMC, and they help themselves. The old colony has been a little bit more closed to new ideas and called them worldly.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have a very good meeting when there was a lot of opposition and the classes were almost stopping a year later. I better finish this first part about this class. That class finished successfully and was very good. And of course, I did talk to them, keep in contact with them, and some of them were given a hard time, ostracized slightly, and so on, because they had done this.
Oh, by the church? Or
by the people? By the family, too, just generally. But then the next year, I went to Pat Loback, whom you probably heard of.
She's at the Franklin House?
No, she's from London.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah,
that's
and
right,
talked
right.
to her.
Department of State. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
David Friesen has mentioned her name.
Yeah, and I talked to her about it and what was doing. Made an application. Also, no, that's not quite the way it was either. We had a class started through Nicklin House, and then that ended. And I called Pat Loback and said what we were doing and what had happened, and it was going so good. Do I just drop and walk away after the few weeks of English lessons? I'd like to keep in contact with these people, and I like to work and do work, and I've got to. If I can get this, I will leave some of my other things and have other help there. Like I, until a month ago, was a social director also at the same time in the Leamington Lodge, which is a senior citizen's home.
Mm.
So as of last month, I finished there. While I was finishing, it was hard to finish, and so it would drag on. But when Pat Loback came onto the scene, and then we were ready to work with Pat and I, and Nicklin House, who had already been involved slightly, wanted the whole thing to be supervised from them. Well, fine with me, because I need a secretary, I need somebody to write the letters, I need somebody to do it right, because nobody's going to be able to read mine. So that worked very well. And we've had over 100 people going to school this last winter. So it's progressed into that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In the different classes. And we've had...
How many classes have you had, Troy?
We had 3 in English.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, and 3. And there's only books and packets material for English 1, English 2. So we had John Zuschlag, who is a language teacher at Kingsville High School, go a little further, and we called it a 3. Because we do have some of the people being promoted to supervisor capacity and can't read or write. So we're having men come. And we also have men in the ladies' classes, which is something, at one time when they first came the first years, they couldn't accept that.
They had to be segregated.
No, to have women teach them at their age.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. See, that was not
quite
the way they liked it. But that is something it's taken care of. They're coming, and it doesn't matter who's teaching as long as they're learning something.
What's the difference between the 3? You say there's 3 levels.
Well, we have English 1, where a new person, if we can get them to come, will learn just every day, come in, shut the door, a few sentences in English, and to learn to communicate, speak.
Basic
speaking, just more or less talking. A few words reading, maybe, but it's light. But it has to be light because you can't do it any other way. Then we have a two where they read in readers. We use the old school readers.
Mm.
And we're up to grade six.
Okay.
And this last year, after Christmas, we started reading in the Bible and found a great interest in reading the Bible.
In English.
In English.
Mm-hmm.
And they could go home and check it in German. We encourage them to take notes if they want to in German, so that when they get home, they don't have to say, "Oh, I don't know what it is," and forget their homework. They know what they wanted to know and to do, and they've got it in German. Mm-hmm. But we also find their German is very poor,
mm-hmm.
very poor.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm talking about old colony. I'm not talking about the E and C.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, right now we're planning a course for this fall, which has grown in many directions. But
which
we did have
include those three levels of English.
Three levels of English. We also had a craft class for the women, which was English and crafts combined. They were learning the words and doing a handwork.
What kind of handwork?
Crocheting, knitting. Start quilting already too. And they're very interested in that. And they like that. They made some wall hangings, cushion tops, slippers. The general crocheting knitting program. That was very successful. And there we had an age range of from grandmothers right down to young girls. They all liked that.
Okay.
Well, we also advanced into a choral group where they took singing in harmony. As you know, the old colony does not sing in harmony.
Right.
The other church does. So anyway, we promoted that, and we made a little mistake there. We moved it to the high school. And the high school has been kind of a door you don't enter.
Mm-hmm.
So after about 30 registrations, only 14 came, and some of the parents were unhappy. So we're going to move that back to the public school.
Is that of younger children or?
No, that was
older people.
Anyone that would be 15 and whatever. There's no age limit. It was to learn to sing.
Hmm.
So now this winter we're going into a program, or lending a program to the high school itself, called Theory. In music, because a lot of them outside of the program, we filled it into piano lessons for young children, and it's all grown from the singing. In the classes, as you've probably heard, we also have play and learn for the children, where the children get help with their homework. Yes, we had 24 kids coming a night, Tuesday and Thursday.
That's for extra help and working
for
on the
extra
homework.
Help, because as you can see, the parents can no way help them with their homework. Right. And they also start late in the fall and early quitters in the spring, and so they're behind, automatically behind, plus the language problem. So with volunteers from the United Mennonite Church, we've had a real nice program. And an offshoot from that, we had an Alma Warkentine, who's just a super teacher, and I sit in all the classes, and I just marveled at her. So an offshoot from that, we're going to have a Kinderschule start this fall, trying to use our local buses to pick them up at whatever we could. We haven't quite gelled that yet, where we can get the bus service to put them in.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be pre-kindergarten. They'll have to be 4 years old, though we can't take three.
Mm-hmm.
And they will learn the language and learn to play. So that's, you know, you keep growing and growing, you don't know where it'll go,
mm-hmm.
but it's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, basically, the funding for this is coming from?
Well, the Board of Education pays for all our teachers, which is beautiful.
Six board.
Yeah. And the schoolrooms, we make an application, but we've never had one that wasn't granted. The program is explained. And they also are aware of the problem, and they're working with these people, too, and they're glad we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So there aren't any problems, really. It's just we need workers, we need volunteers, and we need people that really care.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to be finding them too, so we're pleased.
Now, you mentioned Pat Lobeck, who's with the multicultural.
We get funding from them for my salary, and it goes through the South Essex Community Council.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you the only full time paid person, or how does that work?
Yes, I'm the only full time paid person.
Okay, and so you're sort of the generating idea behind many of the things.
Yeah, I guess you can call it that. They kind of come out of here, and then with meetings and discussions, and I also have meetings with the Old Colony people. There's Peter Dick, who's their moderator, and
Fuhr Fair in German.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And a group of the men. And
you have meetings with them?
I have meetings with them.
What do you do at those things?
We've discussed the driving problem, which has been enormous. Not only some don't understand the law of having a license, sometimes it's convenient not to understand it because they do have to have a job. They have to go to work. And they've had problems with that right from the Department of Transport, too. There have been things that could have been made easier that we've worked on that and had meetings with them, too. Mm-hmm. That's been a real hard thing for us. Even insurance companies have sold some of them insurance, and things weren't quite the way they should be, and there were problems. They didn't understand the government. It's not an insurance. It has another name. You know it? You know, where you buy this $150 policy and you're able to be bonded, sort of, to pay the debt of whoever you kill or destroy property for.
But you don't have to.
But you owe it. You know that you're not insured.
Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of them thought they were insured with that and found out that it wasn't, and they felt so bad because they thought they had understood that right, and it is not an insurance. So we tried to educate them in that. Now, Mr. Dick, who at one time was totally against school, I invited him to come in and sit in all the classes and see what we're doing, because all of a sudden there were no students. Three or four came dwindling in, and they said the Ohms had frowned upon what we were doing, and they have a word they call Weltlich and Irrlehre. So I asked him what it meant, as much as I'm German, I just didn't quite know exactly what they meant, and checked it out, and of course, wasn't anything very good. And so I said, well, you come on to school, just be sure you're there, too, because this is very serious. He came, and he was pleased, and he is now teaching the driving handbook at Wheatley. Mm. So he's in the program, too. Mm-hmm. So rather than being against us, he's working with us. So that's good.
How many centers do you have things happening at?
Well, the driving handbook is at the Wheatley area public school. Most of them seem to live in this Wheatley area, although some are moving to town and they are from all over. But they do prefer to drive to the village of Wheatley rather than to do something in the bigger town of Leamington. Even if it's further to go and more time consuming, more money for gas, they still would like to go where it's a little quieter and not quite so noticeable. So we find that a little more successful. So we have that, and then we have East Mercia with three classes and the crafts, and then we had high school with the choral group.
That was the Leamington
High School. And the children come with their parents at East Mercia too. So we're actually using 5 rooms in the gym.
And the gym.
See, the children have play and learn, which is an hour of homework. They find studying quite hard. In Mexico, from what I understand, you don't go to school that much. So it's a strain on them, and the attitude at home is the same. So if someone tells you that's too hard to sit still so long, you know, it rubs off. So that we have a gym session, and now next year we're going to improve that. The girls found it hard with 15-year-old boys that would come just to play and horse around, which is good for them. We should have some men. So if we have men come from 8 to 9, that should work very well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we learn too. We see what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically those kind of the three kind of places
yeah.
where you're working out of.
Well, and that's right. You know, like the Wheatley area school is just north of Wheatley, and then down the highway number 3 goes right to Leamington. So we've got East Mercia here on the outskirts, and then right into town.
High school.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have an estimate of, in terms of the number of people that you're sort of involving?
People that whose names I have on paper that I was actually doing things for and coming to classes were about 165 individuals.
That includes these.
These three places.
Mm-hmm. And that would include children and all.
No, that didn't include kids. See, the children pay nothing. We marked them in absent or present, and that was all.
So the children in the play and learn situation would be on top of that? Yeah.
They'd be on top of that.
How many would you have there approximately?
Well, 24 is registered in, but then that varied from 15. I think the lowest maybe would be one bad night was 7. But and we put on a very elaborate Christmas concert. It was very good. We had about close to 200 people out to see that. Mm. Including that would be family mostly and a few friends, but the families are large. So we had quite a full gym for that. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
The people who are involved, these 100 and some, are they basically of one of the church groups here? Let's see, are they basically what you call Old Colony here?
Yes, EMC comes. In fact, in the music we had when it ended up being at the high school, they were mostly EMC.
Okay.
And some of the then and that was a $10 registration fee for that.
Mm.
The Board of Education also picked up the music teacher's fee, so that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And but what we found there that like music isn't that acceptable.
No.
So we found some of the girls coming and disappearing, and yet I would call them that night. Now I would maybe pop in there just to see how it was going, but I wouldn't be there every music night, and I would go to the home of. One of the parents where the girls had snuck off to sing. So we didn't charge them for singing, we just kept everything very quiet there, because we didn't want to hurt that. So some nights there were quite a few there that wouldn't have had the okay from home.
No, for sure, okay.
Yeah. But that's changing. That is changing tremendously, yeah. Even after the season was over, some of the mothers would say, well, it is nice, maybe next year. You know, but they
hadn't been with it this year, but maybe next year.
Well, they wanted to, but it was sounded like it's still a little bit wrong. You know, there's this brainwashed conscience.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad word, isn't it? But that, you know, you can train a conscience, and the conscience is trained that that's evil,
mm-hmm.
or at least related to evil.
What kind of music would they be singing?
Well, we were using hymn books.
Oh.
The girl that taught is from the Mennonite Brethren Church, Anita
mm-hmm.
Taves,
mm-hmm.
and. The songs that she's familiar with, and a couple of the songs were like theory, learning to catch the notes, which were spring type songs. The flowers are blooming in spring, so a lot of that type of thing to get them to know their different
notation.
Ranges or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not musical, but I love to hear it, and I do promote it. So.
Uh-huh.